This is Sound Doctrine, the chapter-by-chapter and verse-by-verse study through the Word of God with Jeff Johnson, pastor of Calvary Chapel in Downey.
It's not that God is threatened by these little g gods, because they really don't exist. They just sit there and look at you. But he's jealous because he wants the very best for us. He loves us. That we would not spin our wheels about something that's not going to bless us.
Lamp unto my feet, light unto my path. Oh Lord, please take me deeper still.
Today, Pastor Jeff finishes his two-part message, No Graven Image, Commandment Number 2 from Exodus 20, verses 4 through 6. Though he's going to begin by reading from Psalm 115.
So they're pretty dumb. And those that bow down to them are pretty dumb. No matter what you're doing, you're looking at something that's just looking at you. And it's just nothing. Dead. And then verse 8 says, they that make them are like unto them. That's the worst part of it all. You become like the idol, the god you worship. Your heart, your mind, everything is caught up in it. It becomes hard and calloused. These take away energy. They take away time. They conform us to be like them. So they rip men off all the time. Ripping people off. That's why John said this in 1 John 5:21. My little children, keep yourselves from idols. And you say, well, what are you talking about? They're not going to bow down to these stupid idols. No, he's talking really there about idols in the heart. So let's go to our text now, back into Exodus 20. And look at our verse here. In verse 4, where the Lord says, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, in the sky, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth, or the sea. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord, thy God, am a jealous God. Now, throughout history, everyone was asking and wanting to know, what does God look like? A little girl was painting and doing her own little sculpture work and saying, I'm making God. And some guy said, what do you mean you're making God? No one knows what God looks like. They will in a moment. And she keeps drawing, you know. Greg Laurie, in his early track, it was Living Water track, I think it was, way, way, way back. He described and he etched a guy painting a picture of God. And the picture was exactly like himself. As he was describing his God, it was himself. It's a mystery. Man's looked to the heavens. The Indians of old looked to the sky and they saw the eagle. And they immediately said the eagle's the top dog. And the eagle is just awesome. It soars in the air. It controls everything. Its beauty is unbelievable. That definitely has to be God. And so they stuck the eagle on the top of the totem pole. He's the top dog of all the other dogs that were there in their totem pole. And they worshipped the eagle. Then there was the Egyptians. They looked at the earth and they saw on the earth the cow, and they began to look at the cow and saying the cow is unbelievable. It is just an ever-giving beast that is kind. It's content. It's always giving. It's gentle. That's got to be God. And they worship the cow. I went into some of the bull sarcophaguses and where they buried them under the earth. Whole cities of bulls that were buried with silver and gold and everything you can imagine inside the graves of these stupid bulls. And they worship the bull, the cow. Then the Phoenicians looked at the sea and they saw that giant turtle. And they loved the smoothness that it goes through the water. And they began to look at that giant turtle as it's so free and it's so safe in its shell and it's protected. This is our God to us. And they began to worship the turtle. But God said, do not do this. You will be inaccurate and it will be inadequate. It won't turn out right. Why? Because the eagle goes forth to kill little mices. What kind of God would go after and be a predator and go after little mices? That's weird. That's got to be wrong. And then you go on with this, and the cow, he can just dry up. No more milk. What kind of God would just dry up and give us no more milk? And then you look at the whole thing with the turtle. He ends up being soup. No, God's going to end up being soup, you know. So what's going on here? This is not me, God is saying. Idols are false gods. Today they take the shape of money, of recognition. They take the shape of success, of material possessions, of knowledge, of other people. Of Barack Obama? I saw some worship. There was an idol. This law prohibits the worship of false gods, but also this law prohibits the true God from being worshipped in a false way. Remember the golden calf? As the children of Israel gathered around? It's not that God is threatened by these little g gods, because they really don't exist. They just sit there and look at you, okay? And they're false, and they just don't exist. But he's jealous, it says here, because he wants the very best for us. He loves us. That we would not spin our wheels about something that's not going to bless us. It's like a parent for his son. You don't want your son just to spin his wheels and do something that's going to waste his time and his energy. So you try to direct him. Or with a spouse. You want to see your mate, you know, not, you know, just do something that's for nothing. He doesn't want us wasting our time, our energy, our passion on worthless prostitution or adultery. And exactly the worship of idols is that. In fact, that's what James calls it. Hosea does a whole thing, chapter 1, 2, and 3, on the whole thing of the prostitute. So you can read that later on. But James says it this way. This is James chapter 4, verse 4. You adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? You're at war with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? And so he's really putting his finger on something there. The love of the world. How do we know who he is, who God is? I found a scripture in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. Let me read it to you. It's a powerful scripture. 1:15. He says, talking about Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. So that's God. God is Jesus Christ. Very simply said. Jesus is his image. Jesus said himself, if you've seen me, you've what? Seen the Father. God manifest in his Son. God incarnate in Jesus. And then going on in Hebrews, in chapter 1, verse 3, talking about Jesus, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person. So if you want to know who is God, you want to know Jesus. You want to study Jesus. You want to look to Jesus. You want to read about Jesus. You want to look into Jesus. He said, through the volume of the book, it is written of me. It's all about Jesus. And that's how we know God and who He is. He is Emmanuel, God with us. You say, well, I would never make an image or an idol. Here's something to think about. We are vulnerable to make our image our God. We are vulnerable to make our image our God. You say, what are you talking about? Here's where I think we blow it big time. To get in the in crowd, you got to have this, you got to have that. You want to wear this, you want to wear that. It's our image, our clothes. Do you have Nikes on? Or do you got, Balance, New Balance? Are you in like Flynn or out? And the kids really go for this, especially in school. You want to be in, and it's all about image. What you wear, what you buy. Oakley sunglasses. You got the O on the side of yours? Hey, look at this. Look what I got, And yeah, they're a real thing. No, I got them in Mexico, They're ripoffs, But just to get the O on the side, man, it's the image. And we buy into it. What we drive. The right label. Are you Republican or Democrat? Oh, you're one of those guys. It's all about image. But it's a lie. It's always been a lie. Because really, when you get down to it, nobody cares what you wear. We just think they do. And so we have to have image. I think it was Huckleby who said, what would Jesus do? And he said, and he blew everybody's mind. He said, he'd never run for office. He'd never be a politician. And that's all I know, I thought that was interesting. He's not going for image. And that's what all that whole thing is all about. Well, but it's Gucci, it's Uchi, you got to understand what I'm carrying here, what I got here. But no one cares. And why are you buying into it? And so to the young, to the guy in midlife crisis, he's got heavy chains on or whatever. To the parent, image and its promise is always, you can get the girl. You can get the job. But it's always been a lie. Because it gives nothing. Notice our scripture here in Exodus 20. He says, God is jealous. He's a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. This image thing gives nothing. It rips off people. And God desires, and I believe He deserves, our exclusive love. In fact, Jesus said, if you love me, obey my commandments. Over in Exodus 34 and verse 14. For thou shalt worship no other God, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, he is a jealous God. Deuteronomy 4:24, for the Lord God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. And that tells me that if we don't obey, He punishes. He intervenes. Not for someone else's sin, but He always looks at the individual. And He sees where you're at. In fact, I found a scripture in Ezekiel chapter 18 that talks about how God judges. And it's interesting. He says, the fathers have eaten sour grapes, And he says, what means this proverb, this thing of your fathers have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge? You shall not have occasion anymore to say this proverb in Israel. Behold, all souls are mine, God says. The soul of the father and also the soul of the son is mine. The soul that sins, it shall die. And so everybody is squared away as far as we're responsible for our own sin. Each and every one of us. Falling short. God says you're going to be judged by that. In other words, this whole thing of that there's a generational curse that some people have been preaching about is ridiculous. It's unbiblical. There's no generational curse. There's nothing in the Bible that even leans towards that. The soul that sinneth, it's every man is responsible. You cannot blame your dad and say, well, it's my lineage, you know, it just came down to me. I'm Irish or, you know, I'm Italian and that's just the way I am. Give me a break. You got an anger problem. You got a problem that you need to deal with the Lord and you need to put this thing off. And you can't keep blaming your parents or whoever. It's not a generational curse. It's an individual responsibility. Now, granted, bad parents bring forth kids that suffer. And that's true. But also, good parents bring forth what? Blessings on children. I like that. Notice this. He says, I will visit. In other words, I will go after them. Not I'm not going to wipe them out, but to continue to knock on their heart's door, I'm going to continue to call them to myself. To those who hate me, I love them, God says. And I'm going to go after them. This is God's promise. Many years ago, God visited me. And I'll tell you, you talk about a generation of weirdness. We had many generations in our family. But all of a sudden, this generation got blessed. And so I turn around and I seek to bless my children. And now they're turning around seeking to bless their children. And so the mercy of the Lord, the mercy of the Lord, the goodness of the Lord. So I see it as a generation, if you're going to talk about a generation of blessing after another generation of blessing. And it continues on and on and on. It's all about being made in His image, isn't it? Eyes on the Lord. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. You see, the good news about Psalm 115, to those that look to these stupid idols, they become like them. If you worship a car, a house, a person, or whatever, you're going to become like that what you worship. But if you're looking to the Lord and your eyes are upon the Lord, you will become like Him by the power of the Holy Spirit. To those whose mind is stayed upon Him, they're the ones that find perfect peace and rest. So our thing is not in our image and what we are, who we are. It's in His image, isn't it? That's where everything needs to be. Romans, again, going back to Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, you know that one. We know that all things are working together for good for them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose, for whom He did foreknow, He did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. That's what's happening to all of us who love the Lord, who are going after the Lord. We are being conformed into Christ's image. I love this. To His Son. Not to the latest fad, to the latest fling, but into His image. So He's our model, isn't He? He's our star. He's who we look to. In Romans 12, Paul said, I beg you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In another version, it says, don't let this world squeeze you into its mold. Don't go the way of the world. When you behold something like we beheld last night, the changing of the guard and the smooth speaking and the crowd mesmerized and thousands of people, what do you see? Are you caught up in it? Are you freaked out? Are you excited or what? You know, I think we need to get our eyes upon the Lord. That, okay, this has happened, so we need to pray. But we need to keep our eyes on the Lord. And to keep on loving one another and reaching out to many with the gospel. Because that is what the world needs today. And as far as the economy, as far as whatever God is going to do, we need to pray. And we need to pray, God, have your way. If you want to spank us a little bit and we deserve it, then let it be quick. May it just be 4 years and we can move along. You know, but hey, we're here because you allowed us to be here. And we're living history, aren't we? In every area. History is God making His mark in people's hearts and using things like we beheld last night to impact people's lives. So God wants to pick us up and bless us. Don't let this world squeeze you into its mold. Be transformed. He's coming for me. He's coming for you. Our Lord, His hand is on the door and He's ready to come. We've got a short time. We need to be busy about our Father's business. It's not about being a Republican or a Democrat. I am a Christian. And I'm going to continue to be a Christian. I'm going to love God with all my heart, with all my strength, with all my soul, with all my mind. I'm going to serve God. And I'm going to share the gospel with people around me. And that's our mandate. That's our call. Give unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. Okay? But give unto God that which is God's. He says, give your body. A living sacrifice. We're created in His image. And He's changing us on a daily basis as we're seeking Him. He's conforming us, transforming us to be His kids and to be lights in a dark place.
You've been listening to Sound Doctrine Radio with Pastor Jeff Johnson of Calvary Chapel Downey. If you'd like us to send you a copy of today's message, CDs and cassettes are available for a suggested donation to the Sound Doctrine Radio program of $5 or more. Just call 1-800-353-7553 or visit sounddoctrineradio.org and order program number 08345. Or just mention the title of the message, No Graven Image, Commandment Number 2. Or send a check payable to Sound Doctrine Radio in care of Calvary Chapel, 12808 Woodruff Avenue, Downey, California, 90242. I'll repeat our phone number and website in just a moment. We recently began our study of the Ten Commandments, the Big Ten, as Pastor Jeff likes to call them. But if you want to get a jump on these lessons and start going through them before they even air on the radio, you can now order the entire series on CD or MP3. You'll get all of the messages from Exodus chapter 20 that Pastor Jeff will be presenting over the next few weeks, including No Other Gods, Honor His Name, The True Father's Day, Honor Mom and Dad, Thou shalt not murder, do not commit adultery, don't steal, speak the truth, don't covet, and today's message as well. we're making the entire series available for a suggested donation to the Sound Doctrine Radio program of just $10 or more for MP3, $19 or more for CD. That's Pastor Jeff's entire series of teachings through the Ten Commandments, yours for a donation of $10 or more for MP3 format, $19 for CD, only from Sound Doctrine Radio. Now, to order the CD or MP3 package, or just today's message, No Graven Image, Commandment Number 2, call us now at 1-800-353-7553. That's 1-800-353-7553. Or visit us online, sounddoctrineradio.org. Oh, and Pastor Jeff would love for you to join him on a trip to the Holy Land in April. Call the church office for all the details at 562-803-5631 or visit calvarydowney.org. Thanks for listening today. We pray that you'll be filled with the love of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, and that you would grow deeper still in your walk through sound doctrine. Sound Doctrine Radio is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Downey, California.